Today's scripture is found in Romans chapter 1, verse 1 through 7. Salutation. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through to his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, the gospel concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for the sake of his name, including yourselves who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all God's beloved in Rome, who are called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank our brother in Christ for helping us to continue in a spirit of worship this morning. Thank you, my friend. Join with me in prayer. We thank you, and we come humbly before you, God, knowing that you do love us, you speak into our lives, and you speak through your living word. Thank you for these truths, that we would be able to hear your word, how it speaks for us specifically. It's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. I know some people who are world class at texting. And I can see the thumbs moving. And I wonder, does it really make any sense what they're sending out? Or is it just a bunch of symbols and emoticons and that kind of thing? I have to admit to you that every once in a while, I will get a text from somebody that doesn't really contain any words or really any sentence structure anymore. And I'm not sure what it means. So all I do whenever I receive that, whether it's good or bad, or say, I text back saying, God loves you and I'm praying for you. I think that covers it, right? I mean, good or bad, right? So if I text that to you at some time, you can think, did he really know what I was saying? Or letter writing, constructing a letter, composing a letter, is something that is, it's not a lost art. There's a lot of people that still write letters. But we think about that kind of communication whenever we consider our scripture reading for this morning. This is the salutation, the opening, the first sentence. By the way, if you read it, it is one sentence, believe it or not, to what I would consider the high point of Paul the Apostle's writing to the early church. While he was inspired often, in my humble opinion, I believe that this letter to this particular church is the pinnacle of God working through him. And he begins this particular letter in a very powerful way, addressing himself as Paul. He had not met the people at this church. They had not met him either. And so he's addressing himself saying, this is Paul. This is the name, the new name that I have. I am no longer Saul, but Paul, because of what God has done for me, how God has changed me and spoken into my life through Jesus Christ. And he continues in that same vein, immediately saying, a servant of Jesus Christ. He places himself in a particular position. one who serves now, Jesus Christ. God changed me through Jesus, and now I serve in that name. Called to be an apostle, one who is set apart, one who is sent, set apart for the gospel of God. That's a mouthful, just that in itself. That is a mouthful. What if we greeted one another like that? Hi. And we didn't just say, how you doing, although we don't really care how the person's doing, because we move on, we don't necessarily want to listen. Hi, it's Neil, an apostle of God, of Jesus Christ, saved by a saving relationship with God through Jesus Christ and filled by the Holy Spirit. How you doing? What's up with you? A little bit different. A little bit different approach to greeting one another. Paul truly wanted a meaningful relationship with this early church. And it wasn't always pragmatic. I want to share that with you. He had in mind a mission to Spain. Okay? He had in mind other missions as well. And so he wanted financial support from these folks. Maybe that's why he also throws in, you know, it's one of your favorite terms and mine, beloved. And he throws in other nice terms like saints, and eventually, you know, it gets around to calling these folks all sorts of nice things. But on a deeper level, while he wanted that kind of financial support to be able to continue in mission, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ and what it did for his life and what it can do for other lives, Paul also wanted to seek to build community in that church. And he wanted them to understand that while he was someone who was traveling around, while he was someone who was becoming known in that part of the world as an evangelist, while he was someone who was also known as one of the first great kingdom builders, each of the individuals who received these words that he was offering also had a call. You notice in this particular sentence, this salutation, this greeting to the early church, called is something that continues to come up. Including yourselves, in verse 6 it says, including yourselves, Paul's pointing to the early church, including yourselves, all those who would hear, who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. A calling. What's Christmassy about our calling? There's a lot of other scripture passages that we think of at this time of year. From the prophet Isaiah, pointing towards the coming Savior, to the birth narrative itself, a lot of other scriptures that we think of at this time of year. And yet, of all things we're reading and thinking about and considering and pondering over this morning, the first sentence in the letter to an early church, and a sentence that speaks about being called. What does that have to do with Christmas? Well, it actually has everything to do with Christmas. For us, we are called. Go ahead and say that. I'm called. How does that sound? Funny? Odd? Maybe the first time you've said that or thought that in a while? You are, though. Each of us is called. And Paul is trying to communicate that to those early believers. Because of what God has done for him through Christ, there's really no other option but to follow how God is leading him. Paul, in his call, as formerly Saul, someone who was a pretty nasty person, was dropped to his knees, literally, and changed. When his eyes were able to see again and he was able to really see the world for the first time once again, he saw it in a different way. He saw it in the light and love of Christ that was now at work in his life. How do we see the world? Are we pessimistic? Are we negative? Or do we understand that it's still God's world, God still continues to speak into the world, and God still is in control? Those are all realities. No matter what bad news comes our way personally, or no matter what dramatically bad news we hear in the global stage, God is still at work. And Christmas reminds us of that because of that baby, because of that Savior and that hope that came in quite a surprising way. Could you have seen that coming? God sending the most powerful force in all of history into the world in the form of a baby to change things forever and to change each and every life forever. That, my friends, is hope. And we think about that term once again in this season of Advent, heading towards that celebration on Christmas Eve of the birth of our Messiah. So our lives are changed. Our lives have changed forever. And we have a new way of seeing all of creation and seeing one another. Can you see Jesus in the person sitting next to you right now? You can go ahead and look. Don't be shy. And if you're not sure about the person on one side, look on the other side. And if you still haven't got it, maybe look forward or look back. Don't be embarrassed to look around or just kind of stand up and really gauge what's going on here. But, you know, we do see in a different way. And we don't just see some schmuck in front of us. We don't see somebody who has their left turn signal on whenever they're supposed to be going right. We don't see somebody who's run that cart into the back of our ankles whenever they're going for the last sale item and fries. We don't see that. We see Jesus. That's some work, okay? That's some work. But Christmas is about the work that was already done for us. God keeping his promises through Christ. Prophesied, delivered, God always keeps his promises, always sends his love, always washes us over with grace. And that's something that we can count on. So if God is already at work and always at work, then we can simply be open to it, being able to see Christ in our midst, even in the humdrum of life. And it starts getting back to that whole idea of calling once again. I love being able to unpack that term, calling, because there are so many people that I've had the privilege of talking to and sharing with. And this is a very humbling thing every time I have the privilege of being able to do this right here, right now. And I'm certainly not worthy. I'm humbled and I'm blessed. But to be able to share with you that you're called. But to be able to share with individuals also in conversations just how they are living out their calling. See, being called doesn't mean the person here, standing up front, having gone through seminary, having been ordained. Being called means opening ourselves to the wonderful possibilities, the wonderful surprise, the unending grace that God pours into our lives. So what's your call? It can be a small call for that day. Somebody that God puts in front of you. Think about that. Days whenever there's been somebody that God has put in front of you that you've been able to offer a word of hope to. Offer love, encouragement. Your call could be as a parent. And I think, for instance, I need to share this, that I think the job of a parent is the most important calling and job in the entire world. And as you are in your home and raising your children and loving your children, that's a calling that you're following, because Christ has been at work in you, and now you can see Christ at work in them. And sometimes in our own families, maybe it's difficult to see Christ at work, huh? Sometimes in our own homes, boy, that's a challenge. And we just want to say, God, I'm really trying here. Really trying. But God has already tried harder and already at work in us. What else can be a calling? A calling can be our service in the church, in the local church, in the most humble act of service. That's a blessing, because all of those humble acts of service, all of those ways that we participate in the life of the church, are ways that we follow that calling that God has placed upon our lives. And when we work together, and when we are in this together, and when we live and love, and sometimes struggle together as the body of Christ, what does that build? The kingdom of God. And that, my friends, is lasting. Understand that you're about doing all those things. There are going to be shreds of paper all over the room pretty soon here. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's going to be boxes torn open. There's going to be arms flailing. There's going to be eyes popping. And whenever all of that is done, and all of it is cleaned up, and even all the decorations are taken down, the gift of Christ still remains. Because it's not something simply under a tree, it is something in our hearts. This Advent journey, you see, is so much more. It's powerful. It's palpable. It's surprising. Amid all the pitches that are pressed upon us at this time, you ever been given a pitch, a sales call, a sermon? Amidst all the pitches that are pressed upon us at this time of the year, buy this, give to that. Amid all the internal impulses that surge to consciousness, that means we become aware of them during the days before Christmas, I must have this, I should do that. Any of those voices playing inside of you? How do we discern to what we are called and by whom? Casting Crowns, a Christian contemporary group, has a song that I really enjoy. And this is the chorus from that song. I love it. And it speaks to Christ coming, God keeping His promises, us basing our life on Christ coming and that promise that God keeps in our journey, but also then how we are to respond to God's call upon our life, because God's call is upon each and every life here. It speaks to all of that. Hear these words of this song. But if we are the body, why aren't His arms reaching? Why aren't His hands healing? Why aren't His words teaching? We're the body. And if we are the body, why aren't His feet going? Why is His love not showing them there is a way? There is a way. Christmas is not simply about preparations. It's about following how God is leading us in our lives as well. What a joy to be with each and every one of you as we all open ourselves in a more vulnerable way to the intimacy of God speaking into our lives at the deepest manner. And I invite you to take a few moments with me in reflection. How is God calling you to be His people? How is God calling you to be His hands, His voice in the world? How are you following that working of Christ in your heart?